Well, a friend grew up in Adelaide and he had a lot provided to him. He had parents that cared for him and guided him to live for Jesus and not himself. Well, he went to secondary school and as friendships formed, he made more explicit decisions to choose his own path and not the good and right path God wants of us. Now, he was quite smart. He excelled in almost anything he did. But his character and his life outside of school was revealing problems in the heart. And one significant choice he made was to have a girlfriend and to sleep with her. He didn't think much of it at the time because he thought that was part of expressing commitment. He wasn't concerned that he wasn't yet married. When two are in love, what does it matter, as some might say? Well, my friend continued with church, and there came a point when he heard a sermon from his eldest brother based on a psalm. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. And he heard the preacher say, if Jesus is not your Lord in everything, he isn't your Lord at all. Now, my friend was cut to the heart. He was convicted that he was making choices during the week that were deliberately going against what God would want of him. He recognized how he treated people needed to change. He recognized how he related to his girlfriend needed to change. He knew he needed to confess his sin to God. So my friend heard from God's word and knew that living for Jesus was the best way to live. And God changes us from the inside, in our desires. And when I hear stories such as the one I just shared, I'm in awe of God because he saves people. He saves people when they didn't think they needed to be saved. Well, we continue in God's Big Picture series based off of Vaughan Roberts' book, God's Big Picture. And we've been working our way through the Old Testament, as Daniel shared, in great big sweeps over the last five Sundays, as seen in the diagram. But today we're moving into the New Testament. And we focus in on Jesus the Messiah, or Jesus the Christ. Now, Christ and Messiah have the same meaning, but come from different origins. Christ has Greek origins, Messiah has Hebrew origins. Both are getting at Jesus, the anointed king, or promised king. And last Sunday, Daniel shared that there were many prophecies pointing forward to a Messiah coming to save Israel and the nations. So we're focusing on the present kingdom today. And we're introduced to Jesus, the new king appointed by God. And key truth for us to take away is Jesus is the Messiah bringing salvation to all nations. Jesus is the Messiah bringing salvation to all nations. To come with me as we understand the story of Jesus as a baby in the temple from Luke. And if you have any questions, then you can send them to the number on the screen and I'll attempt to answer it in the question time after sermon. So as I said, keep a Bible open to Luke chapter 2 from verse 25. And I'm going to expound the story into two headings. Firstly, waiting for the Messiah. And then secondly, the Messiah bringing salvation. So firstly, waiting for the Messiah. So from verse 25, a man called Simeon is righteous and devout and he's living in Jerusalem. Luke wants us to know that this man is righteous and devout. Now, why? Well, he's right before God and he's devoted to him. Simeon can be trusted. Simeon is giving his all for God and turning away from sin. And he's waiting. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel and the Holy Spirit was on him. He's waiting for Israel to be freed from its Roman rulers. And he's waiting for this sorrow to end and for God to reign over Israel, showing his power. Luke wants us to know that the Holy Spirit was on him. Now, the Holy Spirit was not yet given to all those who had faith in God, but the Holy Spirit was on Simeon. And this is very important because up next, we learn that the Holy Spirit has revealed to him that he would not die before he has seen the Lord's Messiah. Now, this is a massive revelation from the Holy Spirit. Waiting for someone is hard, But when the wait is over, such relief. I remember waiting for Crystal to return to Adelaide after she studied abroad in Slovenia, out of a desire to study more about social work and introduce students to Jesus there. Now, the waiting was hard, and this was also before we were married. I was also waiting for her to return so I could propose. But such relief and excitement when she returned. Such big smiles when she returned to the airport. I gave her a big hug. I was waiting for Crystal, who's now my wife, but compare that to waiting for God's promised King, the Saviour of the world. Huge difference. God's people were waiting for the Messiah for a long time. And the Holy Spirit tells Simeon that he won't die until he has seen the Lord's Messiah. God promised a Messiah for his people, to save his people. So what joy and delight Simeon has when moved by the Spirit, he goes into the temple courts. And the parents of Jesus bring in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law requires. And this custom was reminding God's people how God saved the Israelites from the Egyptians, how God redeemed them from the land of slavery. You can see Exodus chapter 13 for more details, or for fuller context, read all of Exodus. So at that moment, Simeon takes Jesus in his arms and he praises God. What a moment. Simeon appears to have found the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. He has been waiting for the Messiah, and here is the child. Secondly, the Messiah bringing salvation. So Simeon has Jesus in his arms, and he praises God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." These are big words. God keeps his promises. Jesus fulfills all of God's promises, supremely because he is the Messiah, God's Messiah. Simeon has seen God's salvation. Jesus, the Messiah, brings salvation. And this isn't just salvation for the Jews, God's people at the time. Simeon said, "which you have prepared in the sight of all nations." So Jesus, the one who brings salvation, who is salvation, is for all nations. And what Simeon says next confirms this. A light for revelation to Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Not darkness, but a light for revelation to Gentiles. Now, who are Gentiles? You might be thinking. We're non-Jews, most of the world. Jesus will reveal salvation to Gentiles. And this is what Revelation is getting at. God revealing Jesus, the light, to the Gentiles. And Israel's significance isn't lost either, because Jesus is the glory of God's people Israel. Jesus reveals God's glory and is the true Israelite, the true human, the one who is righteous and never at fault. Jesus didn't come just for the Jews, but for all nations. This is a big deal. And Simeon is delighted, joyful, and full of wonder at what God has done in sending Jesus. Now, do you remember, or have you heard of, the promise God gave to the serpent in the garden? One would come from Eve, and he would crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent will strike his heel. Well, Jesus has come, and he crushed the head of the serpent when he grew and died to bear the weight of sin on his shoulders. And he died to bear all our faults and wrongdoings. And he rose again in power, defeating the serpent, the deceiver. So we don't need to be under Satan's power, but now alive in spirit because of Jesus. And Jesus did die, but he didn't stay dead. not crushed like Satan. Well, the people who are in darkness has seen a great light, and that light is Jesus. Now, a friend, he was trapped in an underwater cave in the dark, slowly losing his breath, but his buddy found him with light and pulled him out from being trapped. Death was inevitable if his buddy didn't intervene. This is what Simeon is saying for Jesus. Without Jesus, death and punishment from God are inevitable. But Jesus brings salvation. Jesus alone. So who needs to be saved? Well, we all do. Because ever since the first human sinned, we are bent on doing evil. We seek to live our own way, ignoring God. But Jesus came for us. And he shows us how to live for God. And salvation is received through seeking forgiveness from God and trusting in Jesus as your Savior, your Messiah, your King, that God promised for you. So Jesus, the Savior of the world, took upon himself God's anger at sin. And he can take away God's anger at you because of your sin so that you can have a perfect relationship with God. So don't cease to be astounded and thankful that God sent his son Jesus to earth for you, for me, for you and me. So Jesus the Messiah reaches right to our core because his salvation doesn't just offer forgiveness but full restoration with God. One day with Jesus and united to him, we will join God our Creator in the new creation. Right in the beginning, humans were created to be with God. And Jesus the Messiah came to bring us back to God. This is the present kingdom. So Jesus, as I said, he's the true Israelite, always does what is right and is truly God's place. God's fullness rests on Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, we live a new life, full of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus rose from the dead. And Jesus the Messiah is choosing his people to be ambassadors for him, so that more might know the salvation he offers. My friend who I shared about earlier, who was cut to the heart because he knew that if Jesus isn't his Lord in everything, then he isn't his Lord at all. We need to remember that Jesus is God's promised King, and our lives are to reflect his rule now. Jesus is the Messiah, bringing salvation to all nations. Now, what can we learn about work and rest from this part of God's Word? Firstly, work for the kingdom. Well, we are to work for King Jesus, who has saved us by his blood. Our work, because of Jesus, is meaningful, goes forever, and is not meaningless. We work because God made us to work and to be a blessing. We work either for ourselves or for someone, but ultimately our King is Jesus. We work for him first and foremost. Everything we do is under his authority. So we are to work to please Jesus in everything. Honoring our bosses or working with integrity is also good and right. And that's important to Jesus. As we work, we need to remember to praise Jesus the King. He is the light of the world and he's our ruler. God has revealed Jesus to us to know that reconciliation with God is possible. Not just for today or just for tomorrow, but forever. That's amazing. And we're not to just privately praise Jesus, but we can praise Jesus for his salvation with our family, together here throughout the week, as we talk with our work colleagues, wherever we meet, as we mingle with people. Our praise should be part of our work, because praise will not direct people so we'll direct people to the one who deserves all our praise, who deserves our worship as Lord and Saviour. And praising Jesus will stir our hearts to work for his glory, to put away any selfish ambition, to honour him and be a person of integrity in our work. So if someone at work asks you, what did you get up to on your weekend? Well, you could say, I was reminded how good it is to praise God who made me and gave and has given me salvation to live with him forever. Knowing Jesus is the Messiah pushes us to excel for him and bring him the glory. Finally, rest for the kingdom. Well, praising Jesus and God the Father and living for Jesus is also connected with rest. Rest with God is enjoying what he has done, delighting in all that we've achieved for Jesus and delighting in him, the one who has given life, breath and everything. Rest should be an increased period of praising Jesus to focus on his fame and his renown as you work for him. Rest is essential to take a step back from the busyness of work, to remind yourself how Jesus is worthy of all your devotion. Jesus is worthy of all your affections. And Jesus is the King you need. Jesus alone saves us from eternal punishment. So do you want to rest in Jesus and know his salvation? Well, you can seek forgiveness today, any day, and trust in Jesus. Just like my friend was convicted in his spirit, the word of God pierced his heart, and he understood that God saved him for good works, to rest in him, to live for Jesus and not himself. We need to continue examining our desires and actively put away any desire to seek to take first place in our life, and replace them with a desire for Jesus. Jesus is God's promised King. My friend and all of us need to rest in Jesus, to enjoy him, to get to know him with family or with friends, knowing that we are saved because of Jesus and our work will lead to complete rest in the new creation. Jesus is the Messiah, bringing salvation to all nations. Please join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. We get to be reminded today that you sent Jesus, the Messiah, your promised King, for us. You sent him to us, people who are not deserving of having Jesus as a human amongst us and deserving of having him save us, but yet in your love, you chose to do so. May we be astounded and thankful for you doing that. And may we keep seeking forgiveness for things we do that are not for you and longing to understand you more so that we would please Jesus in our work, in our rest. I know that he is our King. And we should rightly work hard at serving him, resting with him as our King. In Jesus' name, amen.